Hey, what's up, Karma Nation? Welcome to another edition of The Cash Process with Ben Hostler and myself, which is brought to you by our sponsors, MyBookie.today. If you haven't checked out the previous episodes for this new segment, this show is all about a cash game strategy for NFL DFS. Mostly we'll talk about DraftKings in specific, by the way, but maybe we'll touch on FanDuel as well at times. We basically start off reviewing last week's kind of core plays and how we fared in our cash games. Kind of seeing what we did right, what we did wrong, how we can get better, adjustments that we can make to our own game theory, logic, lineup building. And then we'll shift our focus to the upcoming weekend. You know, it's basically Tuesday night right now. It's kind of it's a very first look, early look for me. I have not really been able to dabble in much at all. I usually try to get some research done before this podcast. I got tied up today and yesterday. So I'm going to rely on my homie Ben here. Ben, how was your week last week?
Yeah, I think we pretty much ended on the same lineup on DraftKings. I ended up going Ebron and Geronimo Allison once the Randall Cobb news came out, and then you went Geronimo Allison, and you moved up to Tyler Eifert, which I was completely fine with as well. I just wanted to play Ebron because I knew everybody was going to. So we both had a huge week. It was one of those weird weeks where, like, we ended up on the same lineup, which doesn't happen every week, but it has twice already this season. But yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for this week just because last week everyone was concentrated on like the two really attractive games. And with some of the better teams back on this main slate, there's a lot of more interesting games for DFS. So I think the ownership will at least somewhat be a little bit more spread out.
Yeah, for sure. Another selfless plug for the home website, DFS Karma. .com guys, it got completely revamped, rebranded, relaunched. Shout out to all the homies behind the scenes that made that happen. Go check it out. All of our content for NFL, I mean, we do absolutely every sport, by the way. Right now, obviously, baseball kind of just ended, but you know, content, data viz, cheat sheets, tools, articles, Slack chat. You can talk to us. We're moving to Discord, but all that stuff is on the website, so feel free to bookmark that. Check it out if you already haven't. Last week, like Ben said, we get on here, we talk about what we did right, what we did wrong. I do an extensive lineup review, like a 25-minute breakdown of my DraftKings lineup, and you can find that. It's on YouTube already. We actually send that out every Monday in our little email, Ben's Takeaways as well. So if you guys haven't checked that out, Ben, it was an absolutely amazing week for me. I feel like, you know, we're going on to week five, and, you know, fortunately for me, I'm a heavy volume guy in cash games, and it's taken me many years to kind of build up to this, you know, route and in this dynamic where I'm at in my career. And I'll tell you what, man, I've got off to basically the best start I've ever gotten in NFL DFS the first 4 weeks. I mean, I'm very far in the green right now. I had another five-figure weekend. FanDuel was absolutely amazing for me this weekend. I was basically one player away from the nuts. You know, I had Zeke there. I did not have Zeke on DraftKings, which leads me to kind of where I just want to start. Like, Ben, you and I both were questioning ourselves immediately before the results even happened. And that's the one thing that you and I both love to stress. We're about the process, right? That's essentially what this podcast is about. Ben, let's just talk to ourselves real quick. What did we do wrong? Why was 44% of people on DraftKings on Zeke? I mean, I understand the matchup like we talked about on our big podcast. I thought it was an amazing play on FanDuel. It just didn't seem to make as much sense on DraftKings. Like, where did we go wrong there real quick before we move on to this week?
Yeah, I don't think we really went wrong at all. I did not expect him to be that popular on DraftKings. FanDuel, I totally get because it's a little bit more touchdown dependent. And, you know, Zeke is definitely going to get a ton of volume. So his touchdown equity, like if Dallas scores, there's a really good chance that it's, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. So I think the play on FanDuel made a lot of sense. But when you're talking about him being so closely priced to two guys in Melvin Gordon and Saquon Barkley, who are extremely, extremely involved in their team's passing games. And yeah, I know Zeke did a lot of damage in the passing game last week, but prior to that, he really wasn't. Like, he was getting some targets, but if you watch the games, those targets were literally like Dak is about to get sacked and he's just like dumping it off to Zeke out of like desperation that he doesn't get sacked. Like, yeah, they weren't scheming plays towards him.
They finally did this week, so it's a trend that we'll start monitoring. Obviously, it's good for us. You and I are both in the NFFC, the World Championship Fantasy Football season long. Like, yes, guys, that's a thing. It's a $2,000 buy-in, so you'll see us tweeting about some of our season-long players at times. Somehow, we finally got the 2-2. But let's move on to this week, Ben. Again, a lot of this for me is first glance tonight. And again, I apologize. I usually can get a lot of research done before this early look podcast, but holy shit, man. Like, when I look at Vegas, like, wow, we are in for another week of fireworks, which, again, not to keep rehashing last week, we've gotten so many DMs and so many questions and people wondering why is the cash line so high this year? And maybe it's with the new rules and how this is going, the whole passing yards or just the whole route that the league wants it to go, which correlates to more fantasy points. I don't know. I guess that's to be determined. But the cash lines were ridiculous last week, and even you and I were texting behind the scenes, like, dude, we feel like we have the nuts on DraftKings, and this was, before going into 4 o'clock, and it's like you almost need like a 30-point burger from freaking Saquon. And yeah, he got 22. He basically hit his floor, which barely got us by. But man, it just goes to show you that, like, not to give ourselves a pat on the back, but just people that are watching this, listening to this, like, hats off to all you guys because you're putting in the work right now. Like, you're grinding. And I feel like there is an edge still in DFS. There is an edge in cash games. Just got to put in the fucking work, right? Like, you can't just go out on Saturday night and wake up late Sunday and expect to kind of make a quote unquote cash type lineup. So that's why we're doing the digging now. And then we'll be in our big podcast on Thursday. And then the content starts flowing throughout the week. But like I said, Ben, wow, there is so many routes to go this week. The Vegas totals are just astronomically high. Like, dude, we're looking at a 58 in Pittsburgh. I mean, of course, like, you want to load up there, but my first glance, Ben, tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like I don't even know if I can fit any of these guys in my optimal lineup. I mean, where are you? Is there anybody that you're trying to stuff in that you can fit in? Like, I don't see anything that really fits, at least in my early build.
Yeah, it's gonna be really tough to, I think, get up to, Ben or Ryan on this slate just because there's so many options across the board that we're gonna want to pay up to. I do think the two plays from this game that you would be able to fit are both on the Steelers and James Conner and Vance McDonald. But I mean, in terms of quarterbacks of the passing game, I just don't know. Like, Juju Smith's price is really high on DraftKings 7,500. Obviously, we know Brown and Julio are up there. Calvin Ridley's priced up, and I don't want to play him anyways because I just don't believe that he can continue to score touchdowns at the rate that he is. So I definitely think it's going to be really hard to fit guys in the Pittsburgh Atlanta game. Like, it's not going to be like Chiefs Steelers a few weeks ago where you could just like completely stack the game in cash.
Yeah, and normally on this podcast, like we have been the last few weeks and moving forward, trust me, guys, just hang tight. We're going to get position by position. But I wanted to address on a 10,000 foot viewpoint right now, like, there's a lot of action this weekend. And I think that, like, get your brain entrenched on that alone. Just understand that fireworks are going to happen. And I think that our optimal lineup might look a little different than we might even envision, like, early in the week. It just seems like right now, based off of some value, just looking at some pricing, like, we might fall into the Jaguars KC game. And again, 49 is a it's a high total, but there are some other games, three, four other games that are much higher total. So really interesting. Of course, like, I always want to try and get in a girly. But he's playing in Seattle, and I told Ben I was surprised to see their implied point total. I know Earl Thomas is out, but again, it's like, shit, like, it looks like we're gonna need Gurley again in this lineup. But again, is he too much? I guess we're gonna have to figure all that out. But Ben, why don't we get started at quarterback? Like, let's start going position by position. I think everyone clearly gets the point. There's gonna be a lot of points this week. Where are you looking at a value aspect? A couple guys, two or three guys, and then if you can narrow it down to one or two, I know you want to talk about Mahomes. Feel free. The mic is yours. Tell us why or why not we can even consider Patrick Mahomes against Jacksonville Jaguars. And is he your guy, at least early in the week here?
Yeah, I actually think first look, the two quarterbacks in this particular game, Patrick Mahomes and Blake Bortles, really jump off the page to me for cash. Mahomes at 6,200 on DraftKings, that's just way too cheap. I mean, this guy's literally pretty much been the fantasy MVP so far this season. Hasn't scored less than 25 points in a game, and that came, last week against Denver. 25, that was his floor. So 25 has been his floor, and I just think that's too cheap. I know like the Jacksonville defense is arguably the best in the league, really good, but I mean Vegas is telling you that there's going to be points scored in this game. I mean, it's a 49 over under. The Chiefs are implied for 26 points, and I mentioned to you like this earlier, like I don't know if you remember, but Jimmy Garoppolo shredded this Jacksonville defense late last season, and I think they're good, but I definitely think the Chiefs are going to put up points. No one's going to be able to stop this offense for four quarters, and I just think that they, overcorrected his price for the matchup a little bit too much.
You know what's funny is I'm looking at Mahomes' game logs, and it's just like this dude's a stud, man. Like, I mean, it's gonna be. I'll be honest with you. Like, you and I, we do have the same vision. We do have the same like blueprint, so to speak. Some weeks we end up on the same lineups in DraftKings for cash games. Some weeks we don't. And like we talk about all the time, even the weeks that we don't, we still have cashed actually every single time. I mean, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. We're heading into week five. We're both what? Or I'm four. I'm 3-1, 4-1. You're the same, right? You had one week where you didn't hit cash, or are you undefeated right now on DraftKings?
Yeah, I'm 3-1 as well.
Okay. This is a pivotal week, and I feel like certain people that even when they are in this type of area, 3-1, they sit back and they get a little bit lazy, like, oh, I got this. I'm the guy. Like, I'm gonna go 4-1, and I'm gonna go 5-1. Like, I'm going to put in extra work this week. I'm gonna go in overtime this weekend. Like, I'm gonna get into my bunker because I want to go 4-1. I want to get a massive heads up in this environment. Like, this is a season long game, like we always talk about, not a DFS game. Like, I know it's a little ass backwards thinking, but you can get 4-1, you're really ahead of the game for the whole season if you generally play in the same bankroll management moving forward. The guy that I like is Blake Bortles. This could be somewhat popular come later in the week, but 5,500 again, if I'm looking for just enough salary, I'm kind of with you, Ben. I think if I have the salary, I'll probably look to get up to a Mahomes. I guess you could consider Cam too, but you might as well just go with Patrick there. But for me, I'm always looking to pay down, so I wanted to kind of stress that that's the guy that kind of at first glance is coming my way, especially with the KC defense that we saw on Monday night. They can't stop anyone. And if I remember correctly, Ben, last year in specific, it was like week four, you wrote up before Watson became Watson, and you talked about how KC runs that man defense, which is really true. And at the end of the day, that leads to long runs by the quarterback. I mean, you blatantly pointed that out. I remember last year you were harping on the upside for Watson for like, 40 to 60 yard rushing game. And I think he had like 72 yards or something. But I like his rushing upside in this game a lot if they are in man coverage. So that's something else which is, adds to the floor for cash games. So as of now, I think that's the route I'm looking. Let's move to running back. Let's just talk about Gurley first. Like, it's you don't really need to say much other than, of course, it's Todd Gurley. But Ben, it's first glance, it's Tuesday night. Are you going to make a point to play him, or are you just gonna try to make the optimal lineup this week without him? I mean, I think this is tricky. I think this is a tougher week than we think.
As of right now, I'm jamming him in regardless. I do like Melvin Gordon, who is the second highest priced player on DraftKings as well, but I really want to get Gurley in. I don't have the splits in front of me, but I'm sure I'll touch on them on Thursday in my article. But the Seattle defense is just really, really bad without Earl Thomas. They're already not good anyways because they're not what they once were. But if you take Earl Thomas out, they're going to be very bad. And I don't know if you remember late last season, I'm pretty sure Gurley was like not chalk against Seattle, and I think he just destroyed them. I think he had like three touchdowns. It was like late last season, like week like 16 or something. But I definitely want to
Fortunately,
get
I
Gurley.
had him that week, and it was a lovely week.
Yeah, and especially with the Vegas total in this game, I do really like Jared Goff for tournaments at quarterback, but he's priced up a little bit too much. I wouldn't be able to get him in cash. So I think jamming in Gurley is a good way to get Rams exposure.
Yeah, to your point, 21 carries for 152 yards and three touchdowns, and he sat out basically the whole second half.
Yeah, I mean, look what he's done though. I think he's scored in every week this year. through the air or on the ground. And I mean, his floor, like Mahomes, literally his floor has been
Right.
25. So.
That's something that you and I have done a good job on Sundays on our live stream, that like we really come to a complete consensus. Of course, we do the research all week, but it's just like, just take the guarantee with the Todd Gurley, for example. Like you're saying, like he's got like a 4.5K wide receiver in his body on top of what he's doing with running the ball and the touchdown equity. It's just like wide receivers in general are volatile, right? That's just been my philosophy for years in DFS football. Just pay down at receiver. It trust me, it sucks fading the Antonio Browns and the Julio Jones, because these are the weeks you actually really want them. I mean, let's be real, like I want them. So just get them on one of your main GPP lineups. I mean, it's just going to be very, very hard to pay up for those guys, because at the end of the day, they're not guaranteed. I mean, sure, they can see 10 targets come their way, but they can drop three of them, a couple tip passes. I mean, you never know with wide receiver. I mean, they're just not guaranteed the rock, especially near the goal line. I'm with you on Melvin Gordon. Ben, let me ping it back to you. David Johnson, safe to say he's going to be chalked this week, even though, again, I know I'm not thinking it right now, but let's be real. San Francisco technically is somewhat decent against the rush, but they didn't really contain Gordon last week, which really is opening my eyes to this price point at 6,300 for David Johnson.
Obviously the 49ers run defense is better than we expected it to be, but I just think the most important thing with DJ is the 25 touches he got last week. So finally they got him over 20 touches in a game, and I mean if you look, they played quite a bit better with Josh Rosen in there as quarterback. So I do think the offense will open up a little bit more, and I mean if he gets you 20 touches at 6,300 for someone of his ability, I just think that's really hard to pass up.
One other guy I want to bring up, this could become very chalky by the end of the week if Fournette sits, TJ Yeldon. You and I kind of bit the bullet. That might have been the week that we lost. I can't remember. But it's funny. If you actually look up the season-long stuff, because I got to put in waiver wire stuff tonight for my other season-long league, like TJ Yeldon's playing damn good football this season in PPR format. I would probably say I'm going to play him in my flex position. If he is the guy this week and there's no Fournette, is that the same wavelength that you're on as well?
Yeah, I think he is a good play. I think he's actually, like, we've talked about it, like, he could actually be better than Fournette, like, all around football player. And, 5,600 is still pretty cheap. So I do think that's fine. But I really wanted to play Gurley, James Conner, and David Johnson all together. I don't know if it'll be possible, but I don't know if people really will be on Conner because he's kind of cooled since that week one game against the Browns. But still saw seven targets last week, and I mean we pick on Atlanta with pass catching running backs like each of the last like 3 weeks, so I think I really would like to get exposure to Pittsburgh. And I think really what I was looking at, it was coming down to Connor or Juju Smith-Schuster in the flex. So
Personally, man, between you and I would lean Juju. I just feel like you can't rely. James Conner's still an unproven commodity, and there's a reason why he's a backup at the end of the day when we really sit back and think about these things. I love the logic, obviously, but he's cooling off for a reason. I mean, his yards per carry are just absolutely ridiculous. But if you look at his rushing efficiency, it's pretty bad right now, if not worse in the league. Since that opening game against the Browns, and that week one against the Browns was a rain game in which can favor the running backs too. So just food for thought. Let's move on. Obviously, things will change throughout the week for running backs, so stay tuned to all of our content. Wide receivers. Again, Ben and I aren't going to waste your guys' time. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones in a 59 total. These guys are absolutely elite plays, absolutely viable plays in cash games. We will never sit here and tell you that that's a dumb play. The real question is, Ben, can you fit him in your lineup? Is it optimal lineup construction? Now, in my opinion, if we got news that Kerryon Johnson was going to get 25 carries and Jones from Green Bay was going to get 25 carries, yeah, I might tweak my roster construction with the cheap running backs, but I just don't think we have that this week. Or am I correct by that? Or you can't really fit these guys in, correct?
That was a good point on Aaron Jones, though. I know we talked about it before the pod, but that is someone to keep your eye on, that he could become cash playable later on in the week. I am considering him right now. We just didn't really touch on him. But to me, honestly, I think I would lean Juju over both of them for the price. And it's only because I mean, you know, I'm a huge Juju fan ever since like the infamous dream, like before the NFL draft. But I mean, look at his targets, dude. 19 against Kansas City. Obviously, that was a shootout. But then 11 and 11 the last 2 weeks. He's full-time slot receiver now, and you know, we attack Atlanta in the slot against Brian Poole. We did it with Tyler Boyd last week,
Oh, yeah.
and I think he's like legitimately like really good. Like his usage is not going away, even though you know Brown is there. So I think for the price, if I was going to go. Well, with a wide receiver in that game, I would just take Juju.
Yeah, Juju is man, the more we talk about him, the more I'm growing on him because we've talked at length the last few weeks, even in the last year, about attacking Poole in the slot. If I'm not mistaken, he's the worst graded slot corner in the NFL as of last week, but I did not check the numbers. Again, I do apologize to see if anything updated. But when Tyler Boyd catches 11 catches for 100 yards, I'm assuming he didn't really get upgraded any further. So I think that's a great matchup. Ben, talk to me. Who else? I mean, let's be real. Like we talked about paying up at running backs for now. What are you looking at for savings? The only guy that kind of popped to me, and I want to hear your takes on some of these, like D.D. Westbrook kind of popped to me. Who else are you looking at this week in cash games for wide receiver?
Yeah, before we get there, I do want to mention Adam Thielen real quick. I've been picking on the Philadelphia secondary for the whole entire year. I don't think they're good. And if you want to talk about usage, I mean, no less than 12 targets in each game this season. Like that is some crazy usage. So I know he's 7,700, but that's definitely someone I'm going to consider. And then as far as wideouts, I think there's a lot of interesting options in the mid tier again this week. I mean, Tyler Boyd again, 5,700. I still think he's fine against Miami. Jordy Nelson had that big game against Miami in the slot 2 weeks ago. And I mean, Boyd's been playing a ton in the slot, and they're clearly like he's clearly a part of the offense. So there's no way I would play Calvin Ridley over Tyler Boyd. Please, please don't do that.
Well, that's why this week I think is going to set up for another win. Like, just we got to grind hard. We really do. But plays like that, like you said it perfectly, people are just going to play. They're going to click. Ooh, Calvin Ridley's got 9,000 touchdowns this year. I'm going to play him. You know, like, okay, good luck. But then again, it is
Oh
at a
yeah.
59
No, he
total.
yeah,
You
in
know?
that game against the Steelers, he definitely could score multiple touchdowns again, but I mean when he's that closely priced to someone that's getting way more usage in Boyd, there's no way I
Correct.
would take him. I mean, Boyd had 15 targets last week, man. Like it's not going away.
Right. And Xavier Howard, it looks like the truth, to be honest
Yeah,
with you.
so
Matt and AJ
if you're
Green.
thinking that he's on green, then and they've used him to shadow this year as well. So anticipating him pretty much on green the whole game, but Tyler Boyd is going to have probably another huge week.
You know what pisses me off though was I was hoping to see something from Hogan this week in the slot, and why didn't he? I mean, not to get off tangent here, but like, why didn't they attack with Hogan in the slot this week if we're talking about slot and versus Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I know James White caught one that I don't know if you saw that James White,
Yeah,
the
I saw it.
I like the most dude, he just threw it in the air
He's
and it like
going, dude.
somehow
You see me in
landed in the
Slack chat
stands.
telling some subscribers, I'm like, just play James White every week, and the guy just
Yeah,
wins
I
his
had
money.
him on my main tournament team with Watson and Hopkins and it ended up really well, but yeah, dude, that was just random. And they just haven't used Hogan the whole year, so I don't know if it's really the matchup. I think it's just more of they just really haven't used him as much as I thought that they were going to. That was one of my pretty big misses coming into the season.
Let's scroll down even further because, again, just by early talk this week, it sounds like we are going to be trying to pay up at running back and, you know, take these quote unquote volatile, I think they're all volatile receivers at lower price points. Doug Baldwin, Ben, I'm curious to see. I know you'll have a good write-up on him, but just, you know, again, Tuesday night, he played, man. He's $5,000. He's Doug Baldwin is $5,000 in a 52, 51 and a half over under. I mean, to me, that screams lock, unless he's somewhat not healthy, but he's good to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's healthy at all, but I was shocked at Doug Baldwin's usage. I wrote that as one of my takeaways in that email that goes out. Like, I was shocked that he led the team in targets. I didn't think he was going to be used that much, but seven targets against Arizona. I think we definitely can attack LA through the air right now with how banged up they are. So at 5K, I think that's like too cheap. Like, I know you mentioned Didi earlier because you're playing Bortles, but I mean, I would play Baldwin, I think, over DD for 300 more every single time.
Yeah. I can hear you with that. I do like the amount of targets Didi's getting, and I was on him last week actually in one of my GPPs that talked about that in the podcast. Another player, are we gonna go back to the well with Geronimo Allison? I guess we have to wait in concussion protocol, right?
Yeah, definitely have to wait. I think the matchup's pretty good, but I like Didi more than Geronimo. I think I don't think Didi's a bad play. I just was stating that I like Baldwin a little bit more, but I mean, if you're taking any Jacksonville receiver, it's Didi for me. Like, please don't play Moncrief. That was the biggest fluke of all time last
Oh,
week.
God, yeah. All right, let's hear one last one. I know you want to talk about your boy, Taiwan Taylor.
So obviously, a lot of people were high on him coming into the year, and we expect him to get more usage with Matthews out of the picture, and he did. Nine targets is really strong, and we pretty much used Geronimo Allison in the same exact matchup last week, and now we get Taylor, who is just too cheap. 4K on DraftKings for someone that's going to see, 7 to 9 targets against the Bills. That's just too cheap for me. So I think that's probably one of the first plays I'd put in my lineup if Locke was today.
Hey, real quick, not that I'm gonna play this guy, but Mohamed Sanu, you remember I brought him up on our podcast and I said not only the revenge narrative, but he is technically the number two. He's only 4K. And if we like, I like to bring up the whole Coors Field effect at times. This is not a dome game, so we'll have to check the weather. But I gotta be honest, Ben, I don't remember seeing a total this high, like ever. So 58. You know, if I really need $4,000 to get like XYZ special player in my flex or something like that, like I will not be afraid and I will not hesitate to be the guy that plays him at 5% owned in cash games. I mean, I did it last week with like Eifert tight end. He was 3% owned. I just love the spot. I love the targets. And, you know, 4K is really cheap. I know that's a hot take and I know you probably won't agree with me on that. But, you know, even like tagging up a Taylor with Sanu, it just unlocks. It's like a cheat code. Sometimes I look for those scenarios to unlock salary to get my ceiling elsewhere. It's just something that I like to think about. But anything else, Ben, that we're missing early on?
No, I actually agree. That was someone I was looking at. I'd play him over Ridley every time. I don't even care.
Correct.
Like,
Correct.
we talked about it
Any
on the
receiver.
Sunday show. Like, he's so big when he lines up in the slot, dude. No one can cover him because he's a pretty big guy. So I definitely think for 4K, like, getting a cheap piece to that game is completely fine with me.
All right, let's kind of finish this up. Tight end. Who are you looking at tight end this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we kind of let the cat out of the bag stating that we really liked Vance McDonald, but I just think he's too cheap at 3,700 on DraftKings. Obviously he's seen, 5 targets each of the last 2 weeks, and I mean, this is a guy a lot of people were high on coming into the year. I think he's much more of a passing game threat than Jesse James is. He just is always hurt. But I mean, do you remember the game against Jacksonville in the playoffs? Like, I'm pretty sure he had like
Yeah.
14 targets. He had like a monster game.
He kind of like, where did he come from? Because, you know, obviously being in Cleveland, we've seen the Steelers, and I don't really remember seeing him until that game against
Yeah,
Jacksonville.
he's been that guy that's always had potential and then always been hurt, and then the Steelers took a flyer on him. And I mean, anyone that you plug into the Steelers offense can have value. I mean,
Oh, he came
they're
from San Francisco, didn't he?
yeah, remember he was
Yeah.
but
Okay, I do remember that.
I mean, the Steelers get value out of Ryan Switzer, so they can pretty much use anybody.
So my philosophy is, I think I talk about it weekly on here, tight end, I always want to pay down. So, you know, like Austin Hooper, I'm not going to play him. I mentioned him last week. It's not like he went off, but again, I do like looking into situations like that. You know, Austin Hooper actually crapped the bed last week. But yeah, 3,700 seems pretty dang cheap. I mean, Njoku's there at 3,400, but my God, does he have a case of the dropsies right now? Like, he could be having a pretty dang good season right now. I mean, I feel like I've seen him personally drop 5 balls alone, but,
Yeah,
you know.
I mean he caught 5 of 7 targets last week, and I was like shocked when I read that, because I felt
Yeah.
like watching the game that he dropped it every time they threw to him, but he
He's
caught
got
five of
weird
seven
hands,
targets.
man. He's a freaking freak. If he
I
ever
know,
figures
dude.
it
I know.
out, like, he's like twice as good as Jared Cook. Like, Jared Cook has that freak body, the freak just skill set, but like Cook never really put it together. And like, yeah, he's had a couple of good weeks. Jared Cook is like Eric Ebron. I promise you guys that. Like, he could have one catch for 8 yards this week. So you want to go back to that train, that's fine.
There is one guy though, Tyler Croft with your boy Eifert out. I mean, he was used in the passing game last year, and we like taking tight ends against Miami. He's only 2,900, so he only saw one target after Eifert went out in that game. But I do think that's at least something to monitor at 2,900.
That's true. For now, it's McDonald for us. Defense, Ben and I mean, it's honestly, it's Tuesday night. Like, here's the thing, guys. Pay down usually most weeks, as cheap as you can get it within a reasonable situation. And, we'll kind of update Slack chat and in our content later in the week. I mean, for now, what did we discuss, Ben? Potentially even the Browns at 2,500. Yeah, they're 2,500. They create turnovers. Anybody else you're potentially looking at early in the week here?
Yeah, I mean, we got gifted the Bears last week. Like they were way too cheap, man. I mean, honestly, Browns, Jets, maybe. Case Keenum doesn't look super strong to me. And the Jets can create some turnovers at home too. So I guess, Browns, Jets. If I could spend up Panthers against the Giants at home, is interesting to me, but I don't know if I'll have that much money.
Perfect. Well, hey man, I think we did a good job on the Cash Process podcast. Once again, we will be doing our in-game thorough game breakdown Thursday, like on our live stream. And like I said, all of our content streams to dfskarma.com. You can find all of us analysts through our Slack chat, which is moving to Discord product. Everything is on the new website. Check it out, guys. Appreciate you joining us once again, and we will talk to you next week. Good luck, y'all.